In all sincerity, just to reinforce what she said, it is a gift. We're not charging because we love you. We love your kids. Lifehouse is a family of believers. We're in this together. And I love what you said, Lori. None of us, you know, I remember when Olivia was born, trying to find her. Oh, there she is. She doesn't want me to see her. Everybody look back there at Olivia, my oldest daughter. I'll never forget. And the hospital was like, all right, it's time for you to go. And we'd have barely been there, a little over a day. And I thought, nah. No, I don't think it is. I think you need to tell me how to do this. And they didn't. They just gave me a human and a borrowed car seat that still had crumbs in it because we didn't have one in time. And they said, all right, y'all go do your thing. And that was terrifying. And I wish, I mean, in some ways it's gotten better, but in some ways it's gotten worse. I'll say this in front of my kids in this. I've told them myself. We don't know what we're doing. Anybody who claims to know what they're doing, they crazy. We're doing the best we can, right? And I hope today to offer a few things to encourage you as well. So be here for that parent intensive next week. And Kids Crusade is going to be amazing. And I hope you'll come and be a part of that. And I love, Lori, what you said. Even if you don't have kids, come hang out with us. I bet Bill Marshall will be here for Kids Crusade. He gonna have a blast. He's going to have a blast. Speaking of Marshall, Marshall Harrop is working on getting our windows blacked out because we're going to have blacklight shows going on. It's just going to be a lot of fun. All right, you guys ready? So God designed the family. This is from the Word of God, to glorify Him and to make disciples. And I want to remind you that what happens in our homes has eternal significance. And so today, again, to sort of reinforce what Lori is saying, if you do not have kids, maybe you're in the house and you are a kid, I want you to know first and foremost, if you're under the age of 18, this message is still for you. If you're living at home with your parents, this message is still for you. If you just got married, don't have kids yet, this message is still for you. If you haven't gotten married yet, this message is for you. If whatever your situation is, maybe you're an empty nester, I believe this message is for you because God's word is eternal and it is timeless and it is applicable regardless of our current circumstances, right? And what happens in our homes has eternal significance. Last week I told you about how, pulling from John 10:10, the enemy wants to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus gives us life and he calls us to stand firm against the devices or the strategies of the enemy. He calls us to pray for our homes. And I'm not talking about the physical dwelling, although I think the Lord's okay with that too. Anybody want to get a 50 years out of a roof? Can I get an amen? Okay. You know, but when I talk about praying for your home, I'm talking about the people in the home. That's really the home, amen? He calls us to build up one another, to build up our spouse, to build up our children, to build up ourselves, to stand against the strategy of the enemy. And today, we come to this final message of this series, and I want to remind you that our calling is not only to protect and provide for our families, but to shape and send the next generation to carry God's purposes forward in a way that will even outlive us. Amen, Pastor Drew. Psalm 127, if you're there, you can probably read, or it's probably in your Bible, before you actually start verse 1, it says a song for, in the NLT, it says a song for pilgrims ascending to Jerusalem, a Psalm of Solomon. This is what is known as one of the Psalms of Ascent. You see, Jerusalem wasn't necessarily north of where everybody was coming from, but in altitude, it was up from where everybody was coming from. And so this is one of the Psalms, the Psalm of Ascent. The Psalms of Ascent are Psalms 120 through 134. And these are songs, essentially they are songs that the people of God would sing as families, look at your neighbor and say, families, on their way up to Jerusalem for the various feasts that they would go to Jerusalem for. So what I want you to have this picture in your mind. You would have parents, you would have children, you would have grandparents, you would have nieces and nephews, aunts and uncles, brothers and sisters. You would be walking together, or you may be in a caravan going together to Jerusalem, and you would recite or you would sing these songs together as a family. And so what it was is God intended that these psalms would not just be songs that were sang like background music, but that they would be discipleship tools that would help bring families together and focus families on God. And I would even submit to you that sometimes we do some of the same stuff while we're driving down the road with our kids in the car with us, and we're jamming out to K-Love or Air One or listening to Forrest Frank or Elevation Worship or whoever you're the artist that you're choosing in this at this time period, and you're singing these lyrics. And even as you're singing these lyrics, you may not be cognizantly thinking about every song, every word, every lyric that you're singing, but still you are speaking out faith, you are speaking out God's word, and I think that's a beautiful thing. Can I get an amen? And I think that's why one of the reasons, and I won't get into this because this is another sermon that I probably won't ever preach, but I think that's one reason why the things that we choose to listen to are so important, because they make their home in our hearts. You ever go to bed at night and you have a song stuck in your head? Yeah. It's really amazing, though, when that song is reflective of God's word and will for your life, right? And so I would submit to you that what you listen to is important. I'm not saying that you can only listen to Christian music, but I am saying it's important that those are the things that get stuck in your heart and mind. In Deuteronomy 6, Moses, he tells us about that we should talk about God's commands. He says, when you sit at home, when you're walking down the road, when you're lying down, when you get up. In other words, do everything you can to make sure that the word of God is impressed upon your children. And it happens not just at the temple or in our day, in our culture, in our world, just at the church or just at kids' house or just at youth group during house wars. What's up, house wars? Yeah. But also at home, also in the car, also in the school drop-off line, right? Also on your way to the restaurant or the grocery store, also in your home when you're getting ready in the morning. Do whatever you can to make sure that God's word, God's way is heard and taught and talked about in your home with your people at all times, which leads us to Psalm 127. And I'm just going to read verses 3 through 5. I think I could do the whole thing, but just for today, just verses 3 through 5, would you stand as we read God's word together? You guys promise to help me out today? All right, I'm going to preach to y'all over here. You guys, I don't know who you are. You guys going to help me out today? Yeah. There you go. Thank you. Psalm 127, God's word says this in verse 3. Children are a gift from the Lord. I'm going to read that again, and I'm going to keep reading it until I get the reaction that I want. Children are a gift from the Lord. Amen. Amen. This is the NLT, and I'll talk about this more in a moment. Some other translations would use a better word than gift, and that word is heritage or inheritance. I love the NLT. The gift is not wrong. It's just not as right as it could be. Does that make sense? Children are a gift or a heritage or an inheritance from the Lord. They are a reward from Him. Children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hand. How joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them. He will not be put to shame when he confronts his accusers at the city gates. And I'll talk about that last line in a moment. That word gift, that word heritage is nahale in Hebrew. And like I basically already told you, it means inheritance. It means portion. It means gifted possession. Something that you didn't earn and cannot claim as your own because it was given to someone greater or higher or above you. So when the psalmist calls our children a gift or a heritage or an inheritance, what he is in fact saying is that regardless of the circumstances that resulted in that child's conception, there is no kid who is an accident. There is no child who does not deserve the gift of life. Because regardless of what happened to get them here, God knew in eternity that they are His. No kid is an accident, because no child actually belongs to a parent. They belong to God, and they have been entrusted to our care. And they are a legacy that God has placed in our hands to steward for His glory. Ultimately, what this means is that our children are not actually our children. They are His children. They are His, to borrow the terminology of Psalm 127, they are His arrows. I want to talk to you today about raising arrows. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just come to You and we thank You for the Word of God. I just pray for the next several minutes that You would be with us in a real and powerful way. Lord, I pray and I ask with all humility that You would intervene, and that this message would not just be words from a human mouth, but Lord, that they would be spirit powered, that they would make a lasting and eternal difference in our life, that would create transformation in us, not just in the way we parent, but Lord, in the way that we live for Your glory. And we pray it all in the powerful name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. Behold, this is the ESV, Psalm 127. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are the children of one's youth. When I was a kid, it was very popular. I grew up in the country. I grew up on a farm in Mississippi. And it was very popular to get together with my friends and for us to go out into the woods and look for arrowheads. We never found any arrowheads. We found some rocks that we claimed were arrowheads, you know, that we could try to make them into arrowheads. We never actually found any real arrowheads. We would say we found one, but we were lying. And what I learned in that experience and what I know today, just because I have at least a little bit of common sense, is that arrows, specifically arrows, they do not naturally occur in nature. You know, you don't just walk outside and happen upon a stack of arrows that nature, the earth just blossomed itself, right? No. If you want an arrow, now let's just pretend we don't go to Bass Pro Shop and buy it, okay? Because that's what I would do if I really wanted an arrow. And if I had more time this week, I would have an arrow up here. So just imagine that I had an arrow in my hand, right? That I have one. You know that I didn't just walk outside and find it. Like, that arrow had to be produced. It had to be made. It had to be shaped. It had to be sharpened. It had to be formed. Because arrows do not just happen. In ancient days, arrows had to be cultivated from the ground, from sticks or from trees, right? They had to be whittled. They had to be cut. They had to be sharpened. They had to be made, right? And in the same way, just as none of us who are parents just naturally become good parents, godly children don't just naturally occur either. They don't just happen. They have to be formed. They have to be formed. And I would offer to you a lot of times, you know, I get really exhausted when generations are critical of the following generations and so on and so forth. Because what I think is often lost in that criticism is the criticism of those who raised them. Okay? Right? And so I would offer to you also that when we see, and I would just submit to you this thought, that when we encounter a difficult child, especially in the realm of ministry or school or teaching or whatever it may be, it would be so wise of you to remember that that child is a product of the situations and circumstances they have found themselves in. And let your heart be tender towards that. Okay, that's my soapbox. Number one, I'm off of that one. Okay, are we good? Godly children do not just naturally happen. They must be formed. And when I say that they must be formed, I don't just mean academically. I don't just mean athletically. I don't just mean socially. Hey, those are all great things, and I'm not dogging any of those things. I think the Lord wants us to take advantage of the opportunities given to us to increase our intellect, to increase our touch with other people, our range with people, as well as if you are gifted, I am not. Don't let this jersey fool you. But if you are gifted athletically, then yeah, you should take advantage of the gifts that God has given you, right? But when we're talking about forming children and specifically forming godly children, we're also talking about the spiritual side of forming. Can I get an amen? And I want to preach a very practical message today. I don't expect any of you to do a whole lot of shouting or hooping or hollering or standing or waving. Although, if you want to do that to make me feel better, I highly encourage it. But I want to preach a very practical message today, and I took a lot of time this week not just thinking about how I could preach something to you, but how I could learn from this sermon myself in my preparation of it so that I could be a better parent, a better father for my three arrows that the Lord has saw fit to gift me with. Is that okay? So how can we better form our kids spiritually? How can we help form our kids spiritually? Number one, again, this is going to be simple, but it's going to be practical. We've got to get our kids into God's Word. We have got to get our kids in God's Word. I have said this before from the platform that we are living in a biblically illiterate age. It's not true, though. It's not true, John. We're not living in a biblically illiterate age. We're not living in a biblically illiterate culture, because to be illiterate means that you do not have the ability to read God's Word. We are actually living in a biblically illiterate age, where we have access to God's Word on a level that generations before us literally gave their life and couldn't even imagine that one day men and women would have access to God's Word the way we do. There are martyrs all throughout the last 2,000 years who died by having their heads cut off, who died by being burned at a stake, who died by being forced to drink a poison because of their belief that the Word of God should not be limited to the religious elite, but should be in the hands of everyone who calls Jesus Lord and Savior. And yet, even though we have I think it's the terminology is an embarrassment of riches when it comes to God's Word. I told you I'm reading from the NLT, then I use the ESV. There's the NIV, the CSB, the Amplified, the KJV, the NKJV, the what else is there? There's the Message. There's all these different translations, all in English, all available to us on a phone or a book if we have it, right? But yet so many of us are illiterate of God's Word because we have access. It's right there for us, but yet we do not take the time to spend time in God's Word the way we should, to grow in God's Word the way we should, and then to teach our children God's Word the way we should. Are you okay? We got to get our kids into God's Word. We need to read the Bible together as a family. We need to have family devotions. And if your kid is of the age to be in Bible quiz, I highly, highly, highly encourage that you get them in Bible quiz, not just for their sake. Can I say this? Not just for their sake, but I guarantee that you will also be a beneficiary of your kid being in Bible quiz, because you're going to learn things about the Word of God and helping them study and prepare for the matches. And you're going to have conversations around your house, and you're going to talk about Bible quiz. You're going to talk about questions. You're going to talk about all these things, and it's going to produce spiritual conversation revolving around God's Word. How do you help your kids form spiritually? You get into God's Word together. Secondly, I know this is elementary, but it's also the fundamentals of the faith. You pray together. Pray before meals, pray before bed, pray when you're in the car, pray in the morning before you go off to school or you go off to work. Just pray together. When something is wrong, when something's not right, take a moment. Don't complain about it. Don't post it on social media. Say, hey, let's before we talk to anybody else about this, let's talk to the Lord about this. And you pray together. You see, this has ramifications not just for parents and kids, right? I think this works for all of us in the room. How do we form ourselves spiritually? We get into God's word. We pray. Number three, we worship. We worship together. I want to encourage you, and this isn't just me, pastor, saying, hey, you need to be at church. This is me, someone who loves you. I really believe one of the best things that you can do for yourself and for your family is to make the commitment that we're going to be in church. We're not gonna stay at home because we had a long weekend. Now listen, I know people go out of town. I know sometimes things come up. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is Sunday mornings here, but you've had a long week and you're tired. Is that okay? Can I just talk to you like an adult? I don't think there's a person in this room that didn't wake up tired from a long week this week. Okay. Get in church. Just make up your mind. Hey, we go to church. We go to church on Sunday morning. We go to church. We take our kids to midweek. We're part of a life group. Just make up your mind that, hey, when there's a parent intensive, I need to be an intentional parent. There, it worked. It worked. We made it. Right? There's Kids Crusade happening next week. We're going to be there. And I'm not just going to drop my kid off because we're not allowing that. You're going to stay, and you're going to have fun too. And your kid's going to see you worshiping to rabbit and blacklight puppets too. Right? Make church a priority, but also make worship in your home a priority. Don't let what you do in here be the only time every week that you do this. Don't let public worship be the only way you worship. Because if you only worship publicly, I would submit to you that you're not really worshiping the Lord, you're worshiping the moment. Worship in your home. Worship privately. Worship with your family. Sing songs together. Worship in the car. Put on some, I can't think of any song names all of a sudden. Praise the Lord, Brent. Is that a song name? Praise the Lord. Is it really? Well, that's convenient. So I was thinking Lemonade, but that probably is better. Yeah. God's Got My Back. Okay. Do I know that song? Okay, so I don't know the names. I can tell you, never mind, I don't need to do that. We get into God's word, we pray together, we worship together. Number four, we model Christ. As parents, we have to model Christ. My dad has been dead for several years now. I think 26 years this past week, actually. And, you know, when I was younger, after his passing, I judged him pretty harshly. But as I've gotten older, I see things and understand things now. My dad, just like all of us, was a product of his circumstances. So what I'm about to share, I don't want you to paint a negative picture of my father, but oftentimes, as a kid, he would tell me, "Do as I say, not as I do." That was a pretty consistent reminder in my home. But here's the thing about kids. Kids are not going to do what you say. They are going to do what they see. Kids will model your actions. They will model your intentions. They will model your attitude. They will model the way you speak. Now, maybe you're in the house and I said that and you thought, man, I've been telling my kids that. I'm not beating up on you. I'm not telling you're a bad parent. I'm saying today I want to encourage you to take that model and throw it in the trash where it belongs and make up your mind that to the best of my ability, I'm not going to be a perfect parent. I'm not a perfect parent. There's not a perfect parent in this room. We're not talking about perfect parents. We're talking about parents who are pursuing the Lord, who are chasing after Jesus. And so today you make up your mind, I'm going to model Christ so that my kids can live out, or rather they can imitate what they see in me. Come on, say a better amen than that. Right? Don't expect to see something in your children that you are not living out in front of them. Don't expect them to listen to what you say when the words of your mouth and the actions of your heart are in conflict with one another. Model Christ before your kids. Model Christ. And lastly, how can we help our kids form spiritually? I'm sure this list could go on to eternity. But talk about God. Just talk about the Lord. We talk about football. We talk about baseball. We talk about music. We talk about TV. We talk about school. We talk about all these different things. The list goes on and on and on and on. But I want to encourage you, in addition to talking about all those things, and I'm not saying any of those things are bad. Is that clear? I'm not dogging these things, and I'm saying let's add something better to that list. Let's talk about the Lord. Let's talk about what God's doing in your life. Let's talk about what happened at church on Sunday, what happened in kids' house. And when something happens in your life, use those moments, use those ordinary moments just to talk about God. And you say, well, Drew, man, I want to do that, but I just feel so ill-equipped. Same, bro. But thank God for His Holy Spirit who helps us and leads us and guides us. Come on, can I get a little better? Amen. 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 Hey, I'm losing it. I know you're just riding that fader up and down. Give me just a touch more. Heritage reminds us that our children are God's gift to us. They are not our possession. And we have been called by God in this season to shape them as stewards, not owners. And here's the thing: we all want to raise good kids. But can I tell you, God's dream is greater than good little boys and good little girls. God's not worried about you raising a good little boy or a good little girl. Godly disciples is who He wants, who will impact the world for His glory. And one day, those kids in your home, they're going to be raising kids of their own. And you're going to be the primary model that they look at as to how to raise their own kids. Make your mind up today that you're going to get into God's Word, that you're going to pray together, that you're going to worship together, that to the best of your ability, you're going to model Christ. And hey, when you fall short, when you mess up, when you have an outburst of anger, when you don't model Christ, go to your kids and tell them, hey, I'm sorry. Can I tell you that will have such a positive impact in your relationship? I'm just going to point out Julia. Julia, have I ever told you, hey, I'm sorry about how I... Yeah, come on, somebody. There she is. Now, I didn't ask Magnolia because it... She don't even know. I'm just kidding. I've had to tell her I'm sorry, too. And she's like, whatever, I don't care. God's dream is greater. Talk about God. Talk about what God wants for your life, what God wants for their life. Have spiritual discussions. Open up the door so that they can ask you hard questions. And then don't just text me, my kid asked me this, what should I tell him? Don't do that. I mean, you can do that eventually. But you pray. You go to God's Word. You ask the Holy Spirit to lead you. You got the same Holy Spirit I do. You got the same Bible I do. And then you can ask me, and we can talk about it together. How about that? Right? Hey, kids in the house, raise your hand. All the kids, anybody under 18 or under, put your hand down, Tyler, right? I want to tell you this. Your parents love you, and they want good for you more than you can possibly imagine. Come on, all the parents said amen. Amen. They love you, and they want good for you more than you could possibly imagine at this point in your life. One day, you'll have your own kids, and you'll understand it. But until that day comes, there is no way we could explain it to you. But here's something else I want you to know about your parents. They are not perfect, so cut them some slack. And all the parents said amen. Amen. They're doing the best they can. I guarantee you, I know that maybe you listened to this and you learned a few things, but I believe in my heart that every one of you are doing the best that you can. I just want to give you some tools to help you go a little further and do a little better, okay? I can guarantee you, kids, that your parents are doing the best that they can to help you become the person that God made you to be. So cut them some slack, though, because they're not perfect. They're still learning just as well as you are. All right. That took longer to preach than I thought. Point number two, you guys ready? Arrows must be focused. Arrows must be focused. Arrows must be formed. Arrows must be focused. Deuteronomy, which is not a book that we go to a lot, but we should. This is what Moses, through the Lord through Moses, tells us that we should do. In Deuteronomy 6, he says, you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Again, this is the NLT. So it has a way of saying things that is right, but I want to bring up to you more of the Hebrew understanding, the way this was originally written. That word or that phrase, repeat them again and again, is actually Hebrew for to sharpen. Sharpen. Like you would sharpen an arrow. You get it? Okay, whatever. Y'all are a hard crowd. Like sharpening the tip of an arrow, he's saying sharpen your children's ability to see God, to focus on God. He says, repeat them again and again to your children. And this is how you sharpen it, right? This is how you do it. Talk about it when you're home, when you're on the road, when you're going to bed, and when you're getting up. So how can we sharpen our ability to see Jesus in our families? How can we keep Christ at the center or at the focal point of our family's aim? Again, I'm just trying to be real practical. Is that okay? Y'all, is that okay? Marshall said yes, so he's a pretty smart guy. I'm going to go with what he said, okay? Number one, we got to set the target. There it is. Here's what I mean by that. Just go ahead and make up your mind that Jesus is the end. For many of us in our home, Jesus is a means, not the end. Here's what I mean by that. The end is good grades. Jesus, help me get good grades. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong. It's not wrong to pray that. That's all I'm saying. For many, academics is the end, and Jesus is a means to get to my end. For some, athletics is an end, and Jesus is a means to help get the end of athletics, right? I would encourage you to flip that. Jesus is not a means to anything for anybody anywhere. Jesus is always the end. What I mean is Jesus is the goal. Jesus is the bullseye. Jesus is what we are, who we are aiming at. Everything else that comes along the way, that's all great and good. But I will be real with you right here and right now, and I'll say this in front of my kids, and I hope they don't use it against me later when they've got assignments in school. But academics are great, but they are not God. Athletics are great, but they are not God. Being socially smart and having friends is great, but it's not God. God is God, and God has to be the bullseye. God has to be the end. Not grades, not trophies, not money, not a career one day where I can do what I want to do so nothing ever feels like work. That's crazy. Nobody does that. Doing what I want to do sometimes feels like work. Set the target and make the target Jesus. The end of me being a parent is not to make sure that my kids graduate with a high GPA, go to the college of their choice, are excelling in some sport or whatever. The end of me parenting my kids is to one day be able to present them to the Lord and say, God, thank you for this beautiful gift that you've given me. Ultimately, they were mine to steward, but ultimately they are yours. And so, God, thank you that they belong to you, that they know you, that they live for you, that they're called by you, that they are secure in you, that they have a strong foundation of faith in you. Set the target. Number two, order the calendar. Every time you say yes to one thing, you're saying no to something else. Again, a lot of times we choose the good, but we miss God. Set the calendar, make church, make worship, make prayer, make discipleship a non-negotiable in your home. My wife, and I'll mess the story up so I won't go too far, she was a talented high school volleyball player. So talented. She was talented. She was. She's making fun because, yeah, Lori was scared of her. Another Lori? You're messing up my story. what I'm about to tell you, I don't want you to take as prescriptive. I don't want you to take this and say, oh, this is what Drew said we should do. That's not what I'm saying. I am sharing a story with you to illustrate what it meant to my wife and her life. Is that fair? Is that okay? I don't want you to walk out of here saying, oh, I got to do as Drew does. That is not what I'm saying. If the Lord tells you to do that, that's fine, but I'm not telling you to do that. She was a talented high school volleyball player. Her coach told her dad, though, but if she's ever going to be good enough to get a legitimate college scholarship, which is what every parent wants for their kids, right? Because who wants to pay these ridiculous prices? Okay. Right? He said if she's going to get a scholarship, she's got to start playing travel ball so that her skill can increase, so that she'll get better. And again, I want to be so careful. I don't want you to think I'm dogging anything. I'm just telling you what happened, okay? And her dad, he's a pastor. And there were pastors and there are pastors who would let their kids do that. But he's told the coach, there's no way I'm going to trade what I want to see God do in my girl's life for what I want to see volleyball do in my girl's life. He set the target and he ordered the calendar. I think she turned out okay. I think she's doing okay for herself, other than her spouse picking skills, but you know, there's. I'm gonna move on. Number three. Is this okay? Are y'all good? Guard the gate. You as a parent are responsible for protecting the influences that your child is exposed to. Get him my phone, babe. As a youth pastor, I saw these devices ruin teenage girls' lives. I saw social media become a weapon to drive kids to suicide. I know of teenage boys and teenage girls, I know of, who at 14 years old struggle with an addiction to pornography because of what these devices allow them to access. Again, do not take what I'm saying as prescriptive. My older girls, they have phones, but they are highly limited in what they can access. I'm not trying to tell you what to do, but I am telling you that if you want to raise godly children, you've got to guard the gate. You've got to make up your mind that I am responsible for what my children have access to. I am responsible for what they see, for what they hear, and even how they feel because of what they see and what they hear. You are responsible. You cannot shirk that responsibility. You can't give it to Mark Zuckerberg or whoever else, right? That is your responsibility. It's not YouTube's responsibility. It's not Snapchat's responsibility. And I'm just going to tell you right now, love your kids enough to get up in their business and to know what's going on. Not because they're not trustworthy, but because children are children. And there are things that they do not know and do not understand because they are not adults. But you do know and you do understand. And when you shirk that responsibility, you are taking the gift that God has given you and you are abusing it. Are you okay? That goes for your television. That goes for your car radio. I feel people getting angry with me, but I just don't care. I just don't really care because I will fight you over this. And I will win. Because I have the stories, I know the people, and I can still see the faces boo-hooing in my office because of what happened to them through one of these devices because a parent, in their ignorance, did not know what they had access to. Are you okay? Are you going to come back next week? I hope so. Guard the gate. You have to protect what comes into your home, what goes into your child's eyes, ears. You have to be able to have influence over what is influencing them. And if you don't, you are neglecting your God-given responsibility of parenting. And let me just say this. Your kids are not your friends. Your kids are not supposed to be your buddies. Not yet, anyway. Maybe after 23-ish, we'll go with that. Fair? Did you say fair? 22? Sierra, 22 is a good age. Let's go with that. Sherry, you can 20. Okay, we'll go 22. How about that? But your kids are not your friends. And parents, listen, here's what happens. Oh, man, Jesus, Lord, I don't want to make people mad, but I want to tell them the truth. What often happens is parents who are too insecure in their own identity seek friendly relationship with their kids. And in fact, they're actually hurting their ability as a parent to have godly influence in their child's life because of their own insecurity. I love my girls, but we're not buddies. We're not friends. I don't act around my children the way I act around my friends, and I don't expect them to act around me the way they do their friends. I am their parent. I am a person that God has placed in their life to point them towards Jesus, to make sure that the influence in their life continue to point them towards Jesus, not so that they can grow up and be rebellious, but so that they can grow up and understand that I had a certain role and they had a certain role. And hopefully in Jesus' name, when they do get to 22, then we can be friends. Because I have raised them in a way that they can look back with appreciation and not irritation over the way I brought them up. Oh my goodness. I did not see this going this way. I hope it's the Holy Spirit, John. And lastly, how do we focus our kids? We celebrate the right wins. Celebrate faith. Celebrate obedience. Celebrate kindness. Celebrate the fruits of the Spirit in your child's lives. When you see them respond with patience in a situation where impatience would have been the normal result, brag on them. When you see them respond with kindness in a difficult situation, brag on them. Celebrate them. When you see them treat someone with love and respect, honor them. Honor the fruit of the Spirit in your life. We're so quick to brag on academics or athletics, and those are the two just because they're the prominent ones. And again, I hope this is understood. I am not dogging those things. I think they're very important. They're just not most important. Celebrate the right wins because you're going to get more of what you celebrate. You're going to get more of what you celebrate. And kids, I want to ask you one more time. Kids, raise your hands at me. I want to ask you, what are you aiming at today? I heard this quote when I was a teenager, and it really stuck with me all these years. And I want to share it with you today. You are becoming now who you will be forever. Don't assume that one day when I get to X number age, then things will be different. Go ahead and make up your mind that I want to be the person today that I want to be forever. What are you aiming at? And point number three, last point of this message, but I still got a little bit to go, so hold on tight. Arrows must be fired. This is the point of the sermon that if I had a bow and arrow, I would do it like this, but I don't have one, so you're lucky. Arrows must be fired. Verse 5, Psalm 127, verse 5. How joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them. He will not be put to shame when he confronts his accusers at the city gates. Now, that's a very confusing sentence to me at the end. Anybody else kind of confused by that? Did a little research. Anybody else confused by that last sentence? Okay, well, I was. And essentially, the city gates is where people would gather to meet and converse and talk. It was kind of the water cooler of the ancient world. And parents were either honored or shamed by the testimony of their children. Does that make sense? And so this psalmist is saying that when your quiver is full and you've formed and focused and fired your kids appropriately, you ain't got nothing to be ashamed of. You've done the best you can do in raising your kids to honor the Lord. You see, arrows, and this is a sermon point that I truthfully don't love. My oldest will turn 13 in a few weeks. Two weeks. I'm getting old, y'all. Arrows weren't made to stay in the quiver. They were made to be released. And our job as parents And our job is spiritual parents to every child in this church. Can I get an amen? Isn't to control, but to form, to focus, and to fire away. Because these kids in this room, all of them, the ones that you're holding back there, the ones sitting by you over here, the ones talking right there to each other, not paying attention. Those staff kids, distracting the preacher's kid. Sorry, I think I crossed the line there. None of these kids in our room are ours. They are the Lord's. Kids, I want to talk to you again for a moment. One more time. One last time. Raise your hands. All of you, all around the room. Raise your hand real high. One day, you're going to step into the future that God has for you. You will not always live under your parents' roof. You guys listening? And you're going to make choices, and you're going to have opportunities, and you're going to face challenges. And when that day comes, your parents and me and the Lord want you ready. So I got some points for you, kids. You guys ready? Teenagers, you ready? Oh, my gosh. You ready, Angelo? All right. Can you just knock them around a little bit? Yeah, there you go. Kids' house, you ready? That's what's up. That's what I'm talking about. All right, I got some thoughts for you. Number one, learn God's word. Come on, all the parents said amen. Amen. You get more of what you celebrate, right? Learn God's word. I want to encourage you kids to study your Bible, to read your Bible. Lean into Pastor Paul's teaching. Lean into Miss Lori's teachings. And when you don't understand something, ask questions. Ask questions. Number two, I want to encourage you to talk to God in prayer. Can I tell you that your Heavenly Father, He wants to hear your voice. He wants you to pray about your fears. He wants you to pray about your friends. He wants you to pray about your future. He wants you to talk to Him about everything and anything. All the parents said amen. Amen. Number three, I want to encourage you to choose good friends. Because the people around you, the people that you surround yourself with, are shaping you into who you are becoming. And your friends are either pushing you closer towards Jesus or pulling you away from Jesus. There is probably nothing more important, apart from having a relationship with Jesus, that you will ever do than choosing good friends. And all the parents said a good amen there. Obey quickly and heartily. That's number four. And what I mean by heartily is wholeheartedly. And I'm talking about the Lord specifically. Yes, you should obey your parents. But even more than that, I'm telling you to obey God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. When you know that you've heard from God, listen to His word and obey Him. And if His thing that He's asking you to do is scary, the chances of it being God are actually even greater. Are you okay? Learn to say yes without delaying, because delayed obedience is disobedience. Amen. And then last but certainly not least, trust God or trust Jesus with everything. Trust Him with your school. Trust Him with your family. Trust Him with your future. Trust Him because He's good. Can I tell you, kids, He's good. He's a good Father. Listen, I believe every one of you in the room, you got good parents. I do. I believe that. But you don't have perfect parents, but you do have a perfect Father who loves you with a perfect love. And lean into that relationship with Him. God has great plans for every kid in this room, every young person in this room. Today's our First Generation Sunday, and today's the first time I've ever really tried to take one of these messages and preach it, not just to the parents, but also to the kids. And so, parents, here's what I'm asking you. Because I didn't use black light puppets and I didn't have a talking rabbit, it's likely that a lot of what I said was not heard by the kids in the room. And that's okay. I get it. I understand it. I'm not upset about that. But it's up to you to reinforce it. Because you're the adult. It's up to you to take this and to expand upon it. Make it yours. And let some of this stuff become core values that drive your home. We're going to close very differently than we've closed in the past. Very, very differently, but I think it's going to be good. So here's what I'm going to ask. This is going to be a little bit of work on everybody's part. Parents, if your kids are in the room, but they're not sitting with you, I want you to get them to you. Don't do it just yet. Don't do it just yet. I want kids to go to the parents. If you're in the room and you don't have any family in the room, for whatever reason, maybe they're in nursery or maybe you're older or an empty nester and your kids are grown and they've moved out and they're not in church with you. Or maybe you're visiting at Lifehouse today, which, by the way, thanks so much for coming to Lifehouse. We love you, and we just want you to know that God loves you. So maybe you're here and you don't have any family in the room. Can I ask you, families that are here, if you see someone standing alone, would you invite them into your family this morning? And what we're going to do in just a moment is I'm going to have the parents pray over all the children. And then the children are going to pray over the parents. Don't worry. You can just repeat after me. You don't have to come up with something. And then I'm going to pray over everybody. Is that cool? All right, parents and kids, can y'all get together now? Parents, you can pray however you want to pray, but if you would, just take a moment and I have a blessing I want you to speak over your kids. Just repeat after me. You guys ready? Let us pray. I bless you in the name of Jesus. May your heart be formed by God's truth. Your life be focused on His ways. And your future be guided by His hand. You are God's arrow, His heritage, His gift, His legacy. I release you to follow His calling, trusting that He has good plans for you. In Jesus' name. Now just take a few moments and just speak your own prayer blessing over your kids. Kids, are you ready to pray over your parents? And I know for some of you this will be intimidating, but you got this. All right, kids, if you will, repeat after me. I thank God for you. May He give you strength to lead me, wisdom to guide me, and faith to keep our home centered on Jesus. I honor you. I love you. And I will follow Jesus with you. Now I want to pray over everyone in the house. Lord, May our arrows be formed by your truth, focused on your Son, and released into the world by faith. May our homes be filled with prayer, our tables with worship, and our legacy with disciples for generations to come. God, may there be future pastors, missionaries, evangelists, and prophets in the room. We declare that our families belong to you. And over you, Lifehouse, I pray that the Lord would bless you and protect you. I pray that the Lord would smile on you and be gracious to you. And that the Lord would show you his favor and give you his peace. And I pray all of this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. I love you so much, Lifehouse family. I know it's kind of an awkward way to end the service, something that we're not used to. But that's what we got. God bless you. I pray you have an amazing day. And let me encourage you as you go that you would take some of the thoughts from this message today and let them spark conversation with your family throughout this week. Be blessed in the name of Jesus. You are dismissed.